why the audit report's not complete. I've been receiving inquiries from credit rating agencies, just even last week, on the status of that. So I just want to relay that publicly, that those are the key factors as to why that's not done. But with that being said, that $5 million is where our opening balance was for 1920, so I'm looking at column B. So in taking the information that you have in your SACS report and given the information that, you know, changes where we were at first interim and where at second interim now, and as Dr. Jenny inquired earlier, any adjustments where we did some true ups and kind of looking at actuals. But one thing that's different and where we had relayed concerns because of timing related to the CSEA and NAGE agreements. At first interim, if the board recalls, the county had imposed the district to reverse those two-day furloughs, so that was done. We had to, with the negotiation and then the ratification, I believe it was February 7th and then February 26th by both of those units, and our continued conversation with the county, we had to undo, basically reverse back what was reversed to begin with, a little of about $1 million. So that is now reflected in here. So what you see is the change where we were about $5.4 million at first interim in the red for our ending balance. Now you see about $4.4 million. One thing to note, in this negative $4.4 million fund balance is a $3 million also imposed by the County Office of Ed. We've continued to have our conversations, especially we had a meeting last week with them where we've indicated that we're seeing that that may not materialize, but we continue to monitor that. We keep them engaged in that process. We give them a lot of analysis. So anything that we do, and again, remember, these are projections, whatever we do in 1920 that can help our bottom line. So let's say by the time we close the books, we would come with an estimated actuals in June, but then we close the books in September. If that $4.4 million amount negative is reduced, and let's just say it's break even, and I'm hypothetically just saying it's, say it's zero, that negative 4.4 helps because it rolls into that next column C. That negative shortfall is also contributing to that $31 million. So any other positive outcome that we can get out of 1920 is going to help 2021. But at this point in the stage of this process, this is what we're working with. But I just want to indicate that could help that shortfall amount. We're monitoring, we're controlling as much of those costs so that we can bring this down. And that imposed adjustment could then be changed come September. With that being said, and given those assumptions that I had shared earlier, and given those changes at the state level with the governor's proposal, we're now looking at a projected shortfall of $31.7 million. That's what we're working on to then provide a balanced budget to the board that has a restored economic uncertainty amount so we can have a positive certification, and also ensure that that $5 million QZAB amount is in there. So there are a lot of factors with a negative ending balance now projected, and these other adjustments in 2021 will require $31 million in solutions. I'll touch upon in a little bit the cash flow implications, but if nothing were to be done about that $31 million, the district would run out of cash. And so we'd run out of cash that would result in a state loan. So I want to put that there because without doing nothing, again, the alternative is not viable.
Can I make a, since it is kind of tied to this page, the projection of the indirect cost changing, and if it goes down to what the legislative analyst office projected to 1.79, that would eat up whatever savings you might have in that. So we really have a tenuous situation, correct?
You mean the COLA, right? The indirect cost.
Right.
The indirect cost,
right.
The COLA, the cost of living adjustment. Yes, if that
right.
amount that I mentioned earlier, which is now 2.29, goes further down based on that federal implicit price deflator, then yes, that has greater risk to pushing this number up.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Okay. All right. So then this leads into the next slide in terms of the work.
Only 200 to go.
the work that's being done to help close and identify the solutions to close the budget. I think Dr. Janney.
Right. So what you see before you, Board of Trustees, is phase one of the fiscal recovery plan. Why is it phase one? Because we still have now until the end of June to continue to work on this process, right? And so our goal has always been that we still want to work with each of our labor partners to address the shortfall. It's always been about eliminating positions without eliminating people, while still maintaining contractual obligations. While still maintaining contractual obligations, counselor caps, counselor caseloads, classroom caps, but we do want to mitigate where we can, as you saw in the previous slide, CSEA and NAGE have done that. They helped reduce this year's shortfall with their furlough days, and that it positively impacted next year's shortfall as well. So there have been lots of discussions with our labor partners so far, a few agreements, hopefully. We still have time to address this shortfall. Looking forward, we want to continue to have conversations to protect and maintain as many positions as possible in our district. So with that said, where we are right now includes some management reductions, not only just in furloughs, funding realignment and position eliminations, position downgrades, but also the reduction in calendar. So this is an ongoing conversation with our management team. It doesn't mean that we're finished, but it does mean that we've had at least $2.1 million of savings so far. Just for everyone's recollection, last year we had 193 administrators in the district. This year we have 172. 125 are at the school sites. Principals, assistant principals, psychologists. 47 are at the district office. Everybody knows who those positions are. So just for your information, that's where we are at this point in time. In addition to that, the PKS, it includes all of our bargaining associations, certificated, and management. That will, looks like it will get us close to $22 million. Classified funding realignment, as well as we have about 11 office assistant one positions that are unfilled. They're vacant right now. So there's a current savings of $625,000 next year. There's about $2.1 million of contracts and consultants that we're able to reduce for next year, as well as some other grant funding opportunities. At this point in time, we have determined, come up with 27.658089 of the $31.7 million of reductions that we need. Like I said, we're not done, but we have until June to keep working on this.
You have more administrators than teachers.
Okay, so the next slide here is just highlighting the continued risk that we need. So when we're preparing the budget, these are items that we need to continually monitor. So there is risk with the decline in enrollment. That still continues into next week with the P2 and into the out years. And then any contribution that might need to be increased, such as special education, the cafeteria fund, our CTE program, routine restricted maintenance, and again, what the May revision might also share. These next two slides are a roll-up of our restricted funding sources and are referred to then in the SACS report. And then this is a combined view of unrestricted and restricted. So what I'd like to highlight and spend time here on the cash is, in terms of the cash, the district receives, and this is in the board's packet on page 11, is the cash flow projections. We have all the data through January 31st tying to our county treasury account. But one thing to note, and this is why borrowing comes into play. We are a year-round district, so we pay payroll 12 months out of the year, unlike some of our other neighboring districts. So when you're looking at paying payroll, these obligations in the month of July, so when our payroll averages about $22 to $24 million, and as noted on the cash flow projection, the district only received about $10 to $11 million in state aid in the month of July. So this is just to our employees. We already had a shortfall about $10 to $12 million. That is the need for a loan. To now we're going to the county treasury, no longer going to the Mello-Ruse Fund 49. We are going to the county treasury. But without that being there, I mean, the other alternative is to the financial markets. It's known as a tax revenue anticipation note. The district, again, is not in a position to do that given these other pending matters. But now working with Dan McAllister and the county treasury, we're looking to have this continue into next year. That's key, so we need to continue with that. And you continue that into the second month of August, same thing. The state only pays about $10 to $11 million of our district state aid. Yet we still have to pay payroll, and we have to pay our vendors. So that, again, there's the requirement. We had to borrow about $27 million in each of those particular months. So as we proceed going forward, and I'm highlighting this because when there's a shortfall in cash and as we're working on paying back the loan to the county treasury and also paying back the loan to the Mello-Ruse, we've already paid $4 million back to the Mello-Ruse, so we're chipping away as we originally had planned, so that $12 million plus the interest. That's anticipated to be paid off by June. We'll share that on the next slide. But one thing I want to note, when this is a district that's $500 million, you see those months of May and June, that's razor thin in terms of cash. We're looking and we're projecting at about $3.6 million in cash for May and about $6 million in June. So we're going to be cutting it close. We're going to be monitoring this cash flow closely to make sure vendors get paid and employees get paid. But this is a key area and why we need to monitor this closely, because this is the part where if a state loan were to be triggered is a concern.